Well, hey, my friends, welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. It's humid here.
It's like the doors left open. All night.
Sticky. Everything's sticky.
I'm getting bit by mosquitoes. I walked out of the doors wide open. I'm like, what the heck?
Touching everything. It's sticky. Florida, it's been monsooning for the last like 3 days straight. It's like living in a sauna with gnats in the middle of a swamp. It's beautiful.
With gators crawling around.
Don't recommend it.
And let's not forget the water moccasins.
And the meth heads.
The meth heads
fighting the alligators while they're trying to kill cops as they get shot by law enforcement.
That actually happened
a couple weeks ago. Yeah. Crazy stuff and times we live in. But I hope you guys are having a fantastic day. Hope you guys are enjoying yourselves. Hope you guys are ready for a whole bunch of articles. And be sure to check out the podcast show, thebrowershow.com. Bringing you episodes every single day with fully detailed synopsis on them. You know, that's one thing people don't have to ask anymore, what's on our show. We've done a great job at what is in the episode in great detail. I mean,
wow, that's great detail.
You get an idea what's on the show real quick, what you want to hear, what you want us to talk about. And then on top of that, we also have related episodes. And we also have the products we mentioned on the show right there, like Acai, Purple Stick. Just making one of those. And also be sure to check out Rumble, Spotify, Gab. Like, subscribe on there. Give us some comments. And be sure to check out the product of the week on sale the last day, the prostate support. And you guys are making sure that the Ultimate Multiple Capsules wins tomorrow, product of the week.
Landslide.
It's always a landslide. I threw it up there to see what it would do again, and it didn't disappoint. So the Ultimate Multiple Capsules will be going on sale later on this week, so be sure to check those out. That's probably one of our number one products, besides the multiple powder.
And it's purple sticks.
Capsule form, a little bit cheaper. You obviously don't get as much in the capsules, but it's a little bit more, I guess you could say, easier because you don't have to deal with powder. But they both got pros and cons, you know? Powder's good.
I take the powder.
Yeah, I do too. Mm-hmm. I take the capsules when I travel sometimes. It's easier sometimes having powder spill over your backpack.
Oh, South Park's being sold.
Being sold?
Yeah, it's a multi-billion dollar deal. The deal's kind of going sideways right now, so we're delaying the 28th, 29th season. Hebrew's been around for three decades.
It's a very crude show.
But here's interesting. Here's why I'm covering this. The Paramount Skydance deal has been held up in large part due to its own political dimension involving Donald Trump and a lawsuit against 60 Minutes over an interview with Kamala Harris.
Well, South Park's always in a lawsuit.
How in the world do they get into that?
And bro, so it's South Park. They always get into something.
One possible factor in the negotiations, an $800 million loan that Park County took in 2023 from private equity from the Carlyle Group, owned by.
Yeah. Yeah. BlackRock.
State Street and Vanguard, I'm sure. Well, we'll look it up in a second. Parker and Stone could be squeezed for cash to repay roughly $80 million in interest per year.
Ooh.
That's a lot of interest.
Why do they need that much capital?
I don't know. According to one person's knowledge of the arrangement, who noted that Paramount may be open to paying more than $150 million annually in the new deal, but not for 10 years. I mean, I had no idea if South Park was worth this kind of money.
I didn't either. Never a cartoon.
Yeah, by Scott Ants' thinking, the interim operating agreement affords the company the right to approve and deny all material contracts. Park County has maintained that Skydance is barred from taking control and issuing directives until the merger is officially closed. A deal battle is brewing. We hereby demand that you, Redbird and Skydance, immediately cease your interference, stated in a letter from Park County to Shells sent on 21st of June. If these activities continue, we'll have no choice but to act both to protect our rights and discharge any obligations we may have to the public. So, I mean, wow, what a mess that turned into. And so, but it's interesting, though. But South Park has got some crazy stories on it. And that's the thing about it is, whenever you have an organization like this for 28 years, and, you know, and you find out that you're being sold. It's interesting.
Here's another crazy story that just came out. You know, the EPA and their infinite stupidity. You know, they came out last week and said, oh, we've given everybody all the information we know about, you know, weather modification, and it doesn't exist, and there's nothing to see here. And, of course, they did their gaslighting, which that's not even – the EPA doesn't even have any control over the DOD and their black op operations with DARPA and chemtrail spraying and all that. It's not even in their sector. But EPA came out and said, oh, we let everybody know it doesn't exist.
Yeah, no. Guess who owns Carlyle?
Oh, let me
– BlackRock.
Yeah. Okay.
BlackRock, put a stack Vanguard Group, BlackRock Funding, BlackRock.
multiple times.
And State Rock and State Street.
surprise.
I guess BlackRock's going to go own now. They're going to own South Park.
Well, you know why? They probably are sick of all the actual. Dark comedy they have involving certain individuals and certain groups of individuals.
Like free air?
Yeah. So I guarantee you, if they do that, South Park will be no more as far as what it was.
Well, no, it won't be.
But this is wild here because as the EPA tries to inject itself into every facet of people's lives and tell them what they can and can't do for their own safety, the EPA now is saying that they're appealing the decision by the federal court to order the agency to address the risk of water fluoridation. And EPA is basically trying to appeal this to get water fluoridation mandated federally back in all drinking water across the country.
You know what's amazing to me is that we covered this a few weeks ago about how fluoride is a neurotoxin.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make any difference. They don't care.
Yeah.
You know, they're saying, well, you've got somebody in the Appalachians who's got teeth problems because they don't get enough fluoride.
Right.
So therefore, everybody has to be
medicated. Entire country. Yeah. And what's crazy about this is, I mean, the federal judge concluded that water fluoridation posed an unreasonable risk to children's health and ordered the EPA to address the issue. And rather than use the court's decision, think about this with the EPA, rather than use the court's decision as an opportunity to finally end water fluoridation nationally and come back and say, you know what? We've looked at the science now, because that's what EPA tries to base everything on, allegedly.
Oh, whatever.
No, allegedly. Yeah. I use that term very clearly. Instead of doing that, which Europe's already done now, the EPA is now going to spend its time and money challenging the court's order. So instead of actually taking a step back and saying, you know what, maybe this really isn't something the entire population needs to be subjected to. And I got one right here.
You have an open one?
There's more in there.
Put
some fresh ones in there, yeah. But and so the EPA said it will file the appeal on July 18th, after which the case will go to a three-judge panel at the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. The appeals court will receive briefs from both sides along with another brief to hear oral arguments before issuing its decision. And I just want to bring this up because it shows you how out of touch the EPA is. And this is the same crap that ATF does. So ATF comes up with these bizarre changes. We deem that now a brace on a rifle is now a short-barreled rifle and everybody has to register them because we deem it so. Well, then federal courts come in, block it, say this isn't legal. We're putting an injunction on this. It gets overruled. ATF gets slapped in the face like they need to be. And then they come back and say, we're readdressing this again. We've got to figure out how braces are stocks. We're going back to the drawing table. How about you just take your L, ATF and EPA, and go, you know what? Maybe we're out of line. Maybe we overstepped. Okay, we'll reassess and go a different direction now and actually do something productive for American society. Nope, can't do that.
Well, no, let's address this for a second. Let's address science. And this is the irony here. The scientific community has been completely compromised because of grants.
That is very true. The amount of money that gets injected.
No, it's ludicrous. And so what happens is the grants allow them to get billions of dollars from the government in order to do certain studies, which allows these scientists to basically prove their own worth and make them feel important that they're doing something.
Yeah.
Now, I'm being serious now. Now, some of these scientists are actually doing good work, and they're trying to find good research. But here's the thing. When you have a pharmaceutical company wanting the university to do a certain research study to find a certain drug basically going to take care of a certain problem, and they tell you if you don't find the proper solution for this particular drug, we're not giving you the next $5 billion in grants.
Yeah.
Well, that university at that point goes, well, we can't fund ourselves if we don't get the next $5 billion in grants. So we have got to find a way to set the control study up to make this product work, regardless of how dangerous it is. That's why 50% of the drugs are either taken off the market or have their warning labels changed within the first 5 years. And fluoride is a compound that was basically put into the water supply back in the 40s after we went into Dachau and found out what fluoride did to the inmates in the concentration camps. Now you say, well, you don't know if that's all true. Yeah, that's all true. But the reality is it doesn't make any difference. It was a huge controversy. In fact, that one movie that was done by Slim Pickens, I guess, about Dr. Strangelove. That was the reason he started World War III, because fluoride was being put into the water supply. And Stanley Kubrick actually went into the detail in that movie about what fluoride does. Watch the movie. It's nuts. You think, well, the movie really is kind of crazy. It's actually kind of funny, but it's not real fun. It's not funny. And Slim Pickens is in a B-52, and the nuclear bomb gets lodged. Can't come out. So he jumps on top of it, breaks it loose, and he's riding a nuclear bomb down. Have you ever seen the movie?
I've seen part of it.
He's got his hat going, man. He's like riding the Bronco. As we start World War III, I mean, it's crazy. But The reaction is that, you know, these organizations want to prove their own value.
It's true.
And now what happens a lot of times is this. And I know a person who was involved, and she's got a PhD from Harvard. She was involved with the EPA, and yet she still took the COVID shot.
Yeah.
You know, because she was told by the scientific community that was, you know, it was essential. She had to take it. And then her husband took it also. He's also a medical doctor. He ended up with an aortic dissection, which is one of the side effects of the COVID shot. And yet they still, to this day, won't admit they made a mistake by taking the shot.
Well, no, and that's
it's the
same.
Dogma. It's entrenched dogma.
Yeah, and that's the same way you have this out-of-control agency, the EPA. September 2024, U.S. District Judge Edward Chan issued the historic decision and lawsuit against the EPA, ruling that water fluoridation at current levels poses an unreasonable risk of reduced IQ in children, and the EPA must take regulatory action to reduce the risk. This is what the doggone U.S. District Judge ruled, and the EPA said, we're appealing this now.
And they can't. And they can't refute the evidence that came out of Harvard.
No.
The problem is that the people that are selling the fluoride to these organizations are saying, "Hey, wait a minute. We've got to find a way to make this happen, but get it back in. We're stuck with all this poisonous fluoride, and we don't know what to do with it. It's a byproduct of fertilizer production.
Well,
by the way,
with the EPA, they classified it as a protected pollutant. That's what they classify it as, because essentially it's under the Toxic Substance Control Act. But they have to, like you said, you got aluminum production and phosphate production and all these different compounds that get released, including fluoride, and they don't have any way to dispose of it.
A nuclear weapon production. And by the way, when you start doing fluoride, you become servile and infertile, by the way. And top doctors now saying that reproduction may become impossible because of lowered sperm counts. Now, I'm going to give you some solutions to start with, because I'm going to cover this in detail. But now, a lot of people don't want to really hear about all this stuff because they aren't really about having other children. But I'm going to talk about this. A prominent doctor is raising the alarm over escalating fertility crisis that is putting civilization at risk. The disturbing crisis is quietly unfolding across the modern world. For decades, men's testosterone levels and sperm counts have been plummeting at alarming rates, sparking urgent requests about the future of human fertility and the very survival of the human race as we know it. The trend is clear, undeniable, and accelerating. And yet the corporate media, global health bureaucrats, swimming with fluoride, and liberal institutions continue to ignore that it could be one of the greatest existential threats to mankind. Dr. Charles Cornish Dale, better known by many as the egg nationalist, is one of the few voices speaking up. He's an anthropologist, a men's health advocate, and author whose work has appeared in The Spectator, American Mind, etc. And he's talking about the death of men and the death of masculinity, Austin.
There you go.
Okay? In an exclusive interview on Skeptic Broadcast this week, he said that the crisis in stark terms, Western men are biologically and physiologically neutered by a toxic cocktail of environmental pollutants, that'd be fluoride, estrogen-mimicking chemicals, that'd be like all the pesticides and herbicides and bisphenol A, collapsing dietary standards, sedentary lifestyles, and most dangerously, a cultural war on masculinity itself.
Yep.
Now, he said it's not accidental, it's systemic. He connects the dots between the coincidental chemical sterilization of men and the broader globalist agenda that celebrates, listen to me, for men, you guys listening? It celebrates weakness, dependence, and the dismantling of traditional male roles. Testosterone, long associated with strength, vitality, and fatherhood, is now smeared as toxic masculinity. Meanwhile, processed foods, endocrine disruptors, and pharmaceuticals flood the bodies of millions of men from childhood onward, and including the COVID shot, by the way, is massively reducing testosterone because of testicular function. One of the fundamental reasons that sperm counts have been declining precipitously across the Western world for decades is also the non-Western world, is new research showing, he explains. And he talks about the data is means that he said what's happening. He said by 2045 to 2050, the median man will have a sperm count of zero, Austin.
Wow.
That's 20 years. What that means is that half of all men will produce no sperm whatsoever, and the other half will produce so few that it won't matter. You will need a certain number of sperm to fertilize an egg. So we're moving forward a situation very rapidly by where production, reproduction by natural means will not be possible. Wow. And then he starts talking about women, and he said it affects women too. It's not just headline-grabbing statistics about sperm. Women are suffering equally with precipitous declines in all kinds of fertility as well. There was a study done out of Singapore, for example, that showed that women with higher levels of PFAS, that's Teflon,
yep,
and non-stick coating like Teflon, in their blood have a 40% reduced likelihood of bringing a baby to full term. 40% from Teflon. So both sexes are in this problem together. And that's something that I try to say in my work that we can talk about. The End of Men, which was a Tucker Carlson documentary that I was in about fertility problems, but actually the end of men is the end of women as well. So it's really a problem that unites both sexes, and indeed we should unite our civilization in trying to find some sort of answer to it. But fluoride does the same thing. Causes infertility. Here's our EPA is going in and saying, we've got to have fluoride put back in the water supply. Well, we got to ask ourselves a question. Who's paying the EPA to say this? Where are the lobbying groups? And why in the world is a government regulatory agency that's supposed to protect the American population involved in trying to put a toxic compound back into the water?
Exactly right.
That's the bottom line, isn't it? I can't say that any more succinctly than that. I mean, they should be happy it was taken out.
Yeah.
My gosh, this is great. We finally got fluoride out. Oh, no. We have to put a neurotoxin back in the water supply, make sure that our people stay really dumbed down, because we have to make sure we have a dumbed, subservient, infertile population, because they're easier to control, because AI will be here in a little while, and all of their jobs will be gone, and we don't need them as a bunch of dummies on government welfare checks. So we got to make sure we dismantle this, the entire country, and we destroy the population. Now, men, listen to me. There's ways that you can naturally get your testosterone up. Number one, and this is very important, you got to make sure you clear this with your medical doctor. Do not take statin drugs.
Yeah.
When you drop your cholesterol down, you drop your sperm down, period. And you drop your doggone testosterone down. Cholesterol-lowering medications are one of the most toxic things you can put into your body to reduce testosterone, period. That's it. Take prostate support if you're over the age of 50. Very, very important. Make sure you maintain a consistent relationship pattern with your wife. Okay, what does that mean? Go have fun with your wife about 3 or 4 times a week. Just go do that. Let's just say it that way. And don't be sitting here pretending like that's not important, because you've got to keep the plumbing activated in your body, or you're going to have problems like prostate cancer. Just thought I'd mention that. Make sure you take at least 50 milligrams of zinc every single day. 1,600 IUs of vitamin E every single day. Take the HGH Stimulate if you need to do that. It's like a natural Viagra that works really well. Be really careful with what you're doing as far as if you're trying to have kids, staying out of hot tubs, and hot baths and hot saunas and all the rest. There's so many people out there that have fertility problems, and we get them on a health program, and they start eating clean, and they get pregnant. We got one couple that we basically great friends, and they've had like 3 children now, and they were having problems getting pregnant. They changed their dietary habits. Men, avoid BPA. Avoid drinking out of plastic containers. Avoid touching receipts that have BPA on them, which is from the gas pumps, etc. Just avoid all of that stuff. Don't use plastic at all if you can avoid it. Use real glass, stainless steel. Don't be drinking out of plastic bottles. There's all kinds of things that you can do to reduce your exposure to bisphenol A, which is a female hormone. Avoid being in yards that have been sprayed with atrazine and walking around barefoot. Be careful with all this stuff. This stuff is unbelievably toxic. I know years ago we had some water hyacinth in our lake, and we had a group of people got together on the lake and said, we have to spray the lake for the water hyacinth. I said, no, you don't. I said, stuff breaks loose, floats around the lake. Lake's super clean, super pure, and basically all we have to do is pick the hyacinth up off of our lakefront, throw it in the garbage, have them come haul it off. We don't want to mess with that anymore. We want to spray it with chemicals. And I'm like, don't do that. You're going to destroy the mussels. You're going to change the chemistry of the water. You're going to have a problem with other opportunistic weeds coming in and destroying the lake. You're going to destroy the clarity and the purity of the water. This is like a pristine lake we live on. Oh, no, they couldn't listen. I even sent them multiple articles as to why the mussels, which clear the water and make it clean, would be killed from this doggone spray they're putting on. Oh, no, we got to spray it. And they did. So now the whole lake is covered in weeds. The mussels are pretty much dead. The water quality is awful. The lake looks like a doggone swamp now when you walk out over the dock. And it used to be clear water with white sand bottoms.
It really was nice.
No.
I grew up on that lake. And I mean,
you can't swim in it anymore.
You could be at the end of the dock, and you could see, especially during the afternoon, you could see straight down to the bottom.
It was 10 feet deep. You could drop a dime, and you see it sitting on the sandy bottom.
Yeah, we used to go down there. We used to go down, just playing around, and there's handfuls of mussels. I mean, handfuls.
Dead.
Handfuls
all
of mussels.
All gone.
There's nothing there.
And I warned them. I even sent them articles, everybody on the list. And I said, don't do this. Oh, no. We had to do it. We got the money in the account. We're doing it. We're going to spray the whole lake. And they did. And I watched the same thing happen on Lake Mariana when I was a kid. Had a few different weeds floating around. Oh, we're going to spray the lake. And that, let's not even talk about phosphate fertilizers that are being used in all the houses and all the pesticides. So now the water has become so toxic like all the other lakes, I wouldn't even eat fish out of this lake now.
No.
The only thing surviving there are reptiles.
One other thing you could throw it to, if you're trying to boost testosterone, we have the Testo Plus formula and the Tribulus. Go back to what you're saying.
Oh, yeah. If you really want to get boosted,
that'll get you boosted. Yeah. And then also, too, make sure, and this is something that gets overlooked a lot of times, make sure you're running the DIM estrogen control. And whenever you're getting blood work done, make sure you're looking at your testosterone, your free and your total test, and you're looking at your E2, your estrogen. A lot of times, estrogen's overlooked when you're looking at blood work for testosterone. Estrogen is antagonistic to testosterone, meaning if your estrogen isn't under control and it starts going up, it will start lowering your testosterone. It's just the way it is. And what happens is a lot of testosterone, excessive in your body, even naturally produced, will start converting to estrogen. And so you've got to make sure you're taking a proper anti-estrogen supplement. And that's where the DIM comes in so good, because it's a natural, healthy estrogen metabolism with essentially no side effects, works great for men and women alike, and really helps keep that estrogen down and allows that testosterone to push up. Because what will happen is, I've seen this on blood work with numerous guys, their testosterone will start going up. They'll get like 700, 800, 900, and then all of a sudden they start getting conversion and estrogen starts going up. Well, then testosterone starts coming back down. If you keep the estrogen suppressed in a healthy level, the testosterone can get up very high. I've seen guys all the way at 11, 1200 naturally with the Tribulus and Testo Plus stacked together with the DIM. So there's a lot of opportunity, a lot of ways to increase testosterone and increase blood flow, the HGH stimulate. And another thing too, and I'm just going to throw this out there, make sure if you are trying to basically have a kid, you're trying to do all this, stay away from nicotine. Nicotine causes short-term
And pot.
Pot and nicotine. Nicotine is becoming a very serious problem now. And I mean, I can tell you this. I mean, back in college, I used to use smokeless tobacco. I used to use Copenhagen, use it for years. Haven't touched it in years once I started seeing what it did to my gums and everything else. Said, you know what? What am I doing? What is it doing to me? And is this okay? And I couldn't answer any of those questions positively. And so that was something I cut out. And not going to lie, first couple of weeks of cutting tobacco out, they suck. You're in a bad mood. You want nicotine. And it's getting so addictive now. And now they have these Zyns, which apparently is the new popular thing, because none of the younger generation wants to use smokeless tobacco. They all want to use Zyn now. So it's like a dip pouch. So I guess
I hear this stuff is strong.
It's strong. I've never used it. It's strong, but back in the day, all we had was Copenhagen and smokeless. Now
nicotine,
they got
nicotine poisoning on the rise.
So they're pouches that are basically straight nicotine powder that are flavored. And they're saying now that nicotine poisoning is on the rise now in the United States, because young children as well are getting a hold of these. And they dude, some of the flavors on them are like, you know, cotton candy gumball, like stupid flavors that are obviously directed towards children. I mean, a grown man doesn't need to have some flavored tobacco. I mean, I used Copenhagen when I was in college. What it was a grown man. I didn't need bubble gum, you know, tobacco. Once I realized how bad it was.
This is for young children also.
That's exactly what they're doing. Now, I'm going to get to this. You're going to get a kick out of this, but this is horrible. Listen to this. Study results released in the Journal of Pediatrics on July 14 showed that calls to poison control centers for nicotine poisoning incidents involving children younger than 6 consuming pouches.
6?
Increased by 760% between 2020 and 2030 when Zyn came out. 2023.
6.
Under 6, nicotine poisoning incidence is increased by 760%. 760, almost 1,000-fold on this, 1,000% increase.
6-year-olds.
6-year-olds. And they said the nicotine pouches account for only 1.4% of nicotine usage, but they are 5 times more likely to be associated with serious medical outcome because of nicotine overdose on it, because of how strong these things are. So I don't recommend them. I don't recommend nicotine at all. Cause all types of cardiovascular problems. If you are using these, my gosh, keep them away from children, because clearly this is a problem. Because these kids, again, oh, it's bubblegum grape flavor. They start eating them. They think it's candy. Well, 6-year-old ingesting that much nicotine, it can kill them. It's that much of a toxin. Now, the crazy part about it is, I wanted to look up Zyn, this company.
Who owned it?
Oh, yeah. So I pulled it up. Zyn, which is owned by Philip Morris International.
Oh, here we go.
It acquired basically Swedish Match in a 2022 deal when Zyn exploded on the market. Philip Morris International,
Vanguard.
Top institutional holders, Vanguard, Capital World, BlackRock, Capital National, State Street.
They own everything.
You know, one day, I want to be wrong about this. One day, I want to pull it up and you just have like some independent institutional holders. But I guess I'll find out eventually.
I'm going to read this again. I still have it on my computer screen. This is very, very important. You know, Vanguard and BlackRock are stakeholders in all industry, media, academia, and politics. Vanguard and BlackRock invested each other through something called circular ownership. Thus, consider BlackRock and Vanguard as a monopoly that owns everything. With due diligence, you'll discover that the Rothschilds, DuPonts, Rockefeller, Carnegie's families owned them all. And then you have foundations of Bill and Melinda Gates and Soros and Clinton Foundation. And these foundations are instrumental for geopolitical destabilization, all funded through the same Rothschild banking cartel. Chaos is good for business and power acquisition. Only a divided, inspired force can overcome this Goliath. The owners of Vanguard and BlackRock are a manifestation of the primordial serpent. And if you want to know what that means, listen to yesterday's show, and we talk about lizard people. Just so I didn't mention all that's crazy.
No, that's why I wanted to see who's exploded this smokeless tobacco on the market now.
It's always the same people.
It's the same companies. It's the same ones.
And when you realize that it's always the same people, you got to sit back and you go, well, it can't always be the same guys. And guess what? It's always the same guy. It's just unbelievable. Oh, by the way, renowned microbiologist now has said that the mRNA vaccines have destroyed the brains of billions of people.
Destroyed? That's a strong statement.
Well, no, what he's talking about is the lack of blood flow due to spike proteins being lodged inside of the capillaries feeding the cranial tissue. In other words, your brain have a massive reduction of blood, which reduces the oxygen, and so it turns off certain segments of your brain, and
it's
you
like
start
necrosis of the brain.
Well, pretty much. Well, it's not necrosis. You just have. Well, I guess
it starts dying.
It would be a type of necrosis.
Block of blood,
because you can't. And see, it's, remember, now I've used this metaphor before, and I'll use it again. You know, when Hal the Computer in 2001: A Space Odyssey, which most of you have no idea what that movie was. It was another Stanley Kubrick movie.
It wasn't made in 2001.
It was made like in 67, right? And he was the same guy who supposedly faked the Apollo moon landing.
Stanley Kubrick.
And what they do, they start pulling the modules out of Todd, you know, out of the brain, and he starts getting less and less intelligent.
Yeah.
He was AI, and what ended up happening, pretty soon he starts counting backwards from 10, 10,
yeah.
9, 8, and pretty soon all the higher brain functions were destroyed
right.
because they disconnected
started
the modules.
Sections of
well,
it, yeah.
When you start unplugging modules in your brain, guess what happens? You start losing your memories. You start losing reasoning skills. You start losing all of this stuff because it's destroyed the brains of billions of people. Now, you think about it, you think, well, it can't be that bad, but it's that bad. A world-renowned microbiologist has issued a chilling warning over the unprecedented damage that have been done to the brains of the people who receive the injections. Dr. Stuart McCarkey sounded the alarm over long-term damage he's discovered in the mRNA vaccinated. He warns the problem is so severe there's billions of people whose brains have been destroyed. And of course, that's relative on how much destruction occurred. The award-winning professor of microbiology argues that people have been permanently altered by the experimental vaccines. He goes, obviously, and that is what we are now experiencing, we're seeing, I'm afraid to say, billions of people whose brains are not working properly anymore, not as they should be. They're altered, he continues. And they no longer have willpower. They no longer have intelligence any longer. This is not the first time he's raised these alarms. You know, what's funny about this, Austin, is, you know, we talk about this and we talk about these mRNA vaccines and how they're changing the DNA of the people that have taken them.
Yeah.
Now, we put together a spike protein survival kit.
We did.
And go ahead and pull that up, Austin. Yeah. And you know,
natokinase, vitamin E, and an acetylcysteine.
No, I mean, right this there. Is a product that's amazing. So if you have taken the COVID shot, start taking this. It's very important. We're not making any claims whatsoever as far as your brain function coming back. We're just saying that if you've taken this stuff and it's still in your system, you need to make sure that you clear out as much as you can as far as from
exactly
the damage
right.
that's being done.
And it helps with the circulatory system. Mm-hmm. So the natokinase helps break down fibrin, which is blood clotting. And so it helps to really protect the cardiovascular and circulatory system. The vitamin E is a great antioxidant. It also helps out with keeping the blood viscosity thinner so it can pump easier. It also makes everything pretty much smoother. And then N-acetylcysteine is a sulfur-derived amino acid that's a free radical scavenger. It helps detoxify the body. Great for the lung tissue as well. Great for detoxifying the liver. And N-acetylcysteine is one of the only nutraceutical supplements that's ever been recognized by the medical community that can be used for Tylenol overdose and actually reversing Tylenol overdose and toxicity to the liver. It's been documented in the scientific community. That's their claims. And so when you have a supplement like that and it helps detoxify the liver, it can actually rebuild it, you know it's going to do as far as Yep. Detox around the rest of the body.
Here's one more of his quotes. Who hasn't heard about the mysterious sudden cardiac deaths occurring around the world, especially with young athletes? We are just at the tip of the iceberg, he warned. Heart disease caused by vaccinations and the COVID shot is on the agenda of young and old alike. Concluding his testimony before German lawmakers, he's declared, anyone who praises RNA vaccines are safe and effective. Anyone who claims that vaccination rarely causes side effects is either incredibly ignorant or infinitely evil. They are committing a crime. Just like everyone who actively or passively pursues and supports this vaccination, because it is now scientifically proven that this COVID vaccination could only have negative effects, and this to a life-threatening extent. This is a strong article.
Well, what he just said at the beginning, to reiterate that, he said anybody that's still promoting this is essentially either willfully ignorant or extremely evil.
Yeah.
There's no in between anymore.
No.
Because I've talked to so many people, even people that were pro-vaccine, that have now taken a step back, and they're like, well, if this one's this bad, maybe we need to question all of them. And that's the million-dollar comment that I tell everybody. If the government's willing to give you a shot that they know causes cardiovascular problems, myocarditis, and pericarditis, now they list it on the sheet. Remember when it came out, they told you this shot was safe and effective and there were virtually no side effects from it? That it stopped COVID, prevented you from getting it, prevented you from hospitalization, prevented you from transferring it. All lies. Then they came out and said, well, it doesn't stop you from getting it. Okay. Oh, well, it doesn't stop you from spreading it. Okay. Well, it doesn't stop you from dying. Okay. What does it do? Well, it may reduce your symptoms if you catch and reduce hospitalizations. The reason why they said that is because they never tested it against also clean placebos with unvaccinated individuals. They literally put it in, said, we're seeing a response in rats. Oh, we're going to try it in humans. They tried it in humans, said, we see a reduction as far as in the severity of COVID. They completely and totally manipulated the science on it with the clinical trials to get it approved.
Well, my favorite one was my shots were not working because you haven't had your shot.
Oh, God.
What the heck does that even mean?
Dude, there were people out there that were hardcore. I can't be around you if you don't have your shot.
Well, it's like this. If, let's say you have a bacterial infection in your body and you start taking antibiotics.
Right.
Okay? And then all of a sudden you say to your neighbor next door, my antibiotics aren't working because you're not taking antibiotics. And you're like, what are you talking about? This is stupid. What is wrong with you? And that's the problem that we have when you have scientific dogma.
People spread that. There were people that were hardcore adamant about that. I can't be around you if you haven't had a shot. You're not vaccinated. My shot isn't going to work very well if you don't have your shot. What?
I told you, I almost had a physical altercation in two different elevators, one up in St. Augustine and the one in Tallahassee.
Oh, yeah.
People were unbelievably angry that I didn't have a mask on.
Oh, yeah. That was my favorite part. I said, why do you ever wear a mask on if you're healthy?
I mean, if you're wearing a mask, why do you care if I have a mask?
Yeah, because your mask protects you so well.
Yeah, good luck with that. You know, you're sucking there, can't get any air, you're turning blue around the gills, and you wonder what the world's going on, but you're healthy. You look great. Yeah, not really. You got bags under your eyes from lack of O2.
Beekeeper.
Oh, yeah, I watched
that movie. One of your movies that you like.
I actually like that movie.
This is actually a real-life situation, not with Jason Statham going in and basically enforcing justice, but exactly what happened in that film. 8 Chinese nationals on student visas are now charged in computer pop-up scam targeting elderlies. 8 Chinese nationals indicted for the alleged role in a scam targeting elderly Americans through fraudulent pop-ups. Basically, the defendants who came to the United States to attend college are accused of defrauding more than 50 victims across 19 states for over $10 million. They were indicted by a federal grand jury for conspiracy to commit wire fraud. And listen to this. They said the indictments highlight the relentless efforts of Homeland Security. Okay.
Oh, sure.
They said schemes like this cause significant emotional and financial harm. According to the superseding indictment, the defendants are accused of running computer pop-up scams from August 23 to February 24. The pop-ups were disguised coming from Microsoft, falsely warning victims that their computer has been hacked, displaying a phone number to call. When the victims called their number, they allegedly were fed various lies. For example, their bank accounts were not secure. They need to withdraw from their savings immediately. To conceal their crimes, the defendants allegedly instructed the victims not to tell anyone what they had been told and tell the banks that the large cash withdrawals for the purpose such as home remodeling. The defendants and couriers were part of the conspiracy, allegedly traveling to victims' homes to collect money while impersonating federal agents and federal marshals. If convicted, each defendant faces a maximum penalty of 20 years in prison. I hope these guys get maximum sentence on this.
20 years is not enough. They should be life in prison.
No, I do. I mean, when you're going after people that are 80s and their 90s, and they don't understand this whole digital world, They've got their entire savings that they've literally put
together. That's what happened in the movie The Beekeeper.
Yeah. And you've got these piece of trash that are over here from China on top of that, going to school over here, probably on grant money, by the way. And they're over here defrauding Edelees for over $10 million. My opinion, 20 years ain't enough for these pieces of crap. They need to go.
Well, you know, it's funny with The Beekeeper. I mean, he had one of his friends, basically a good friend, got defrauded, and she committed suicide.
Exact same, yeah.
Because they took her money and all the money she was from the trust, and these guys were all excited about stealing the money.
Yeah.
And so he walks up to this building where they're conducting this scam, and there's two security guards meets him, and he's carrying 2 5-gallon gallons of gasoline, and he goes, "I'm here to burn the place down." Well, they all buff you with him. We're going to count back from 10 or 5, and, you know, we're going to beat you up. And he goes, "Okay, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go ahead." And then he basically proceeded to take care of those two. And then he went inside and burned the place down. And he warned the lady at the front desk, "I'm going upstairs to burn the place down. You probably need to leave." And you think, well, why would he do that? Because he was a beekeeper. You can watch the movie. I actually like the movie. And it was one of those things that he had enough of these people scamming the old people.
Well, no.
And it went all the way to the president of the United States and her son.
Oh, yeah. Well, the thing about this is, and this is why I tell people all the time, when you get pop-ups, when you get emails, you get text messages, these scams are so prevalent now. When they start having phone numbers and clicks and links and add-ons and anything that even remotely looks questionable, don't open it, don't touch it, near it.
Now we're going to do one thing here. We're going to talk about dating for a second. This is really important. I could write a book on this. Never, ever give personal information to anybody that you meet online. You have no idea who they are.
That
they're probably one of these clowns, okay? They're probably a Chinese national, and they've stolen pictures of a pretty woman that you thought you might want to go out with or meet, and they're using her to basically bait you. And they're going to try to get your cell phone number. Don't do it. Use WhatsApp. Use Telegram. Do some type of encrypted messaging system, and don't give out your cell phone number, because I promise you, if you do, you're going to start getting all kinds of texts from these clowns. All kinds of pop-ups from these clowns, and they're going to sell your information and sell your telephone. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. They're going to have all kinds of people soliciting you. Oh, you've had a toll violation.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
that's what down here in Florida.
We're going to suspend your driver's license. You got to pay this immediately. If you owe $9, you think, well, okay, just pay it. Wait a minute.
My credit card number.
Yeah.
Boom.
Oh, yeah. Done. You know, and if they ask you personal questions like, "What do you do for a living?" the response is always this: "I'm not going to talk to you about any of this until we do a video chat on WhatsApp. To make sure that you're not some Chinese bot." How you like that? And 90% of the time when you say that, you never hear from them again because they weren't legit. This is how bad the online dating is. It's like a doggone minefield. Be really careful. And the same thing is true with people who call your phone, who call your cell phone.
Yeah.
"I'm from so-and-so," like this. "I'm from the government. I'm from Microsoft." And what they do, they'll send out 100,000 of these.
Yep.
All right, and they'll say, "Okay, we've got 100 people clicked on it."
Yep.
Well, now they work those 100
people. They funnel you down. They run you through a funnel. They put you in another section. Then they have somebody contact you. I remember it was a random phone call. I was at the office a while back ago, and I had somebody call me and say, "Hey, this is so-and-so with FedEx." Now, I use FedEx. I use Postal Service. I use UPS. You guys know, we try to get your stuff as quick as possible. We have the DHL Express, which we get everywhere in the country.
And internationally,
within 3 to 5 days. I mean, the last shipment to Australia got there 4 days from Florida.
That's
fast. How fast DHL Express is.
6 weeks.
Yeah. So I had FedEx call me, and they said, "Hey, there's so-and-so from FedEx. We have a shipment getting delivered." I said, "Okay, cool. Bring it in. We need to verify all your information." I said, "You already have all my information. You don't need my information to deliver my shipment." "Oh, no, we're going to hold your order." I said, went in a room, talked to Ruben. I said, "Ruben, do we have any massive shipments coming in from FedEx?" He said, "No, we have nothing coming in." I said, what's your customer number? I need to talk to your supervisor." "Oh, what do you mean?" I said, "You're not from FedEx." I said, "I have nothing coming in from FedEx, and FedEx never called me to verify my information."
They want to verify your address?
Yeah, he's like, "Oh, we need your address. We need your this and this and this." He put a list of stuff down. I said, "You're scamming. I'm turning in this phone number." Click. Immediately hangs up on me. Come to find out, there was no FedEx shipment coming in. We had no pallets or parcels coming in at that point in time. It was a complete scam to try to get my information to verify it because they had somehow gotten my phone number. So be very cautious of that. There's a lot coming out now with Amazon scams.
Oh, yeah.
A ton of Amazon scams. "Your Amazon order's been placed." I'm like, "Guess what, buddy? I don't use Amazon. I know you're a scam. You also see it on an email. You need to click the link right now to verify your shipment."
Never click that link.
Never click the link on any. I don't even care if it's a legit email. Don't click it. I don't click anything on emails. Nothing.
Because they're gonna, you put a program on your computer.
If you're that concerned about it, go to Google, type in City Cards or Amazon, and get the actual phone number that's the registered website, and call them up directly and say, "Hey, I need to verify something."
But don't ever. And again, I'm going to reiterate this: if you're on a dating app, don't ever give out any personal information. And they say, "Well, we're going to send you some money to help you. I need your PayPal." Well, no, they're going to transfer it backwards. Yeah. They're going to back it out. They're going to take your money out of your account. I had a friend of mine, and she basically had somebody contact her. We want to send pictures of your feet. Feet?
Oh, that's
some kind
of thing. That
foot fetish, right?
Foot fetish.
Well, and I told the individual, I said, "This is a scam. Don't do it." And they opened up their information. They gave them the online transfer information, and they emptied their account.
Gosh.
They stole like $600 from this young lady. And the sad part about it is that I warned her not to do it, but she didn't listen. This is the kind of stuff that happens all the time. Oh, the one person says to you, "Oh, I have all kinds of cryptocurrency. Do you?"
Oh, yeah.
No. Click, block, delete. You know, answer questions like that.
First off, anybody, whether it's a dating app, whether it's a website, whether it's an email, phone, do not talk to anybody over the phone about your finances.
Never.
Ever, period. If you got a question, walk down to the bank. Talk to them in person. Mm-hmm. "Hey, I need you to verify this real quick." We've done that multiple times. Yeah. We had a check come in. It was a refund check. We thought it was a scam.
But it wasn't.
We took it to the bank. It looked like a scam. We even took it to the bank, and they weren't sure about it. They said, "Well, we don't, this is Citibank. Citibank check for a refund." They said, "Well, we have to see if we can verify this." I said, "Your name's on it. It's a yes or no." Mm-hmm. Remember, they "We have to see. You need to call."
It was like a $120 check. And then they charge us like $10 just to cash their own check.
Yeah. But it was worth it because I said, you deposit that check into your account.
Don't do that.
Now all of a sudden it gets flagged. Now all of a sudden you get basically a bad check.
And all of a sudden they get your information on the back of the check.
Yep.
And so the whole thing is just be really, really, really careful. And again, I'm going to reiterate this. If you meet somebody on a dating app or anywhere and you can't video chat with them to verify who they are, 90% guaranteed they're a scammer, period. Men and women, period.
Well, and secondly, too, even in person, and I've talked to law enforcement about this repeatedly now. This is not something that's even remotely uncommon in Florida. If you're going out with somebody, it's first time meeting them or second time meeting them, do not be divulging any personal information.
Nope.
About your family, your business, your finances, anything. In a lot of cases, not all of them, but in a lot of cases when these situations have occurred, these are like almost like honeypot situations where somebody will meet up with somebody, they'll case them, they'll profile them, they'll see what they're driving, they'll see what their finances are, they'll ask them all these really prying questions, and they turn around, they follow them home, or they go meet up with them later, and then suddenly they have another group of individuals that go to a kick door home invasion or a burglary or a car, basically a car burglary, and all this stuff escalates, and come to find out, it was a giant scam. The girl's working with a group. She's finding out who people are. She's casing their houses. They're doing a full profile on them to see if it's worth doing a home invasion. That happens all the time in Florida, and nobody wants to talk about it. Just a heads up on that if you meet people and you don't know them.
And if you go on a date with somebody that you meet online, don't tell them your name. Meet them in a public location.
Do not give them your address.
Don't give them your address, and don't let them see your tag number, and make sure that you don't, that you go out with them 3 or 4 times before you tell them who you are. That's really, really, really important. And don't be wearing, you know, fancy jewelry or don't be doing all that stuff. All you're trying to do is meet somebody, see if you have any kind of chemistry with them. And there's no reason to get into a situation where you're giving them personal financial information. Zero. Just be very, very, very careful because there's so many scams out there. And never, ever give out your cell phone number. Like I said, use WhatsApp or Telegram. Don't do that and use a separate number for Telegram or WhatsApp, not your main number. Very important.
This is a funny story. Bud Light.
Oh, yeah. There we go.
BlackRock. They are still struggling after the Dylan Mulvaney nuked brand on TikTok has popped. I forgot all about this. So, you know,
years ago.
I don't drink beer. It says beer sales on July 4th holiday weekend came in stronger than previously expected, prompting distributors to raise their outlook for the remainder of the year. However, Anheuser-Busch posted decent performance, but one brand under its adult beverage that remained unclear that lagged was the Bud Light brand, still struggling to recover for reasons that need little explanation. In the latest iteration, they said covering 40 beer distributors, about 25% of all U.S. alcohol selling locations, analysts led by Bonnie Hertz found that although expectations were tempered headed into the weekend, that one brand continued to fall short across the entire country, and that is Bud Light.
NASCAR, boy, they don't play that game.
No, you know, it's so funny. I told you guys, I was in Tampa while when all this was going on, And I was like at a comedy show. I was with a bunch of friends, and I was trying to grab like a pretzel or something. Which don't get at me. I don't eat those normally. But I wanted one. And this guy in front of me, they had like four different beers. One was Bud Light. He goes, "I'll take this beer." They said, "We're out of that." I'm watching this happen. He goes, "I'll take this beer. We're out of that." All we have is Bud Light. He goes, "Ugh. I'd rather not drink." Walks off and flipping mad. I think he's already drunk. Man, I will not buy that. And walks off all mad. And I started laughing. I was like,
"He put a gay dude on the can. Transgender,
tranny." Yeah. And so, I mean, they really, Anheuser-Busch really soiled themselves with that, and they have not recovered from it. I mean,
and you know what? You know what's also funny is that a lot of people, you start talking about this, you start talking about trannies, they get angry because they like trannies.
Oh, I haven't experienced that too much.
Oh, no. This really? Is crazy. No, the other day I was talking to a friend of mine, and she'd gone out with a dude, and he said, "Well, yeah, I've gone out with a few trannies." I didn't know they were trannies. You think,
oh, gosh.
Wait a minute. So I asked her, I said, "Well, what do you mean?" He said, "Well," she said, "the guy said, I went out, I met the person, and they show up, and their voice is a little bit different, and so I'm asking them, and I find out they're a transgender, and I'm sitting there having dinner with them." And my response was, "Well, did they just get up and leave?" "No, they sat there the whole time and had dinner with them, paid for the meal." And I'm like,
"Oh my gosh.
All right, that guy's probably gay." You think, "Well, no, he's not." "No, he might be." "Well, he's all muscled up. He's all big." I said, "That doesn't mean anything." I said, "There's no way that me and Austin would ever sit down with a tranny and have
knowingly.
We wouldn't do that. It just wouldn't happen." But the problem is, when you talk to people about this now, this is funny. A lot of people think you're so bigoted that they can't deal with it.
Oh, I know.
Because they're so accepting of these lifestyles now. Well, because they've been programmed this way.
It's the programming through the social normality of trying to force people to do things against their actual will based on reprisal. So you have to start accepting this, or else we're going to socially ostracize you.
Because you're a bigot.
You're a bigot now. We're going to eviscerate you on social media. We're going to eviscerate you publicly if you don't accept this. So long enough, it's like the old adage, the beatings will continue until the morale improves.
Okay, so I want to clear everything up for everybody listening right now. Here's the deal, okay? If you think I'm a bigot because I just said that, because I'm diametrically opposed to going out with a transgender, if that makes me a bigot, I stand fully convicted I'm a bigot with that. I'm bigoted against that type of behavior, and I'm not taking them on a date, period. You think, "Well, I can't believe you're saying you're a bigot." Okay, if you have a person who's a pedophile, I'm bigoted against that behavior too. So I'm a bigot against pedophiles too. So the pedophiles need only one thing, wood chipper, period. And the sad part about all of this stuff is that we learn to accept this crap because of social morals and how they've changed over the years. It's not okay to have pedophiles running around that are raping little children. It's not okay for Jeffrey Epstein to have a list that's been concealed with a bunch of guys raping young girls. None of that's okay. And now, well, they're not even, they're children they're raping.
You see, more stuff's coming out now with Ghislaine Maxwell. She wants to testify in front of Congress.
Now she wants Trump to give her a doggone pardon. And, and she's saying, "Well, wait a minute, if there's nothing here, then why am I in jail?" Which is exactly what we said a week ago.
But she's saying she's got all the data. All
and the Republicans
dirt.
Have blocked her testimony now in front of Congress.
I saw that.
Well, there's a reason for it. About half of Congress is compromised via Epstein.
Yep.
There you go. And they don't want people to know. And speaking of, let's get off that topic. But here's an article about war. $8 trillion later, and what do Americans have to show for their sacrifices in blood and treasure? The Taliban is now in complete control of Afghanistan. Al-Qaeda is in control of Syria. An apologist for Islamic Jihad is about to become a mayor of New York City. And a pro-Hamas contingent of lawmakers wields too much power in Congress. In an article that resembles the obituary for U.S. foreign policy during the 21st century, writer Daniel McAdams dryly observes in the headline, "Global War on Terror is over. Terror won."
Yeah, right.
That's quite the gut punch for everyone who lived through 9/11 and its aftermath, but it's accurate. A quarter of a century after Islamic terrorists murdered 3,000 Americans. I don't believe that, by the way. I believe it was involved with the CIA and Mossad.
There's a lot of 3,000 people died.
I'm not saying that they didn't die. I'm saying that I don't believe it was Islamic terrorists.
No, 100%.
The hurt feelings of those who risk nothing to defend the homeland matter more than the damaged bodies and minds of those who risk everything. And so what's interesting about this, you stop and think about it, the trillions and trillions of dollars. I still remember George W. "You're either with us or you're for the terrorists." Remember that crap? Again, programming.
Yep.
That's neuro-linguistic programming and how we say, you're with us or you're with the terrorists.
I don't want to be with the terrorists. I'm not a terrorist. I don't want to be with Islamic terrorists.
And so what they do, the CIA comes in with these catchwords, these catchphrases, and they say, we're going to reprogram the minds of the Americans. And here's what happens. It doesn't just stay with the generation of those of us who experienced 9/11. It goes into the history books. And so with the younger kids who never even remember 9/11, they show up and they read the history books. Oh, you're either with us or you're with the terrorists. And they repeat it and repeat it and
repeat
it.
The war on terror. I remember growing up in the 04, 05, 06. I remember watching everything on TV with the invasion of Iraq. I remember Fallujah and a lot of guys I knew that were a couple years older than me that immediately enlisted after 9/11. Mm-hmm. All those Marines, everybody did that nightmare of Fallujah, and then it turned into Marja and all this crap that ensued for years. And then it was like everybody I knew that deployed and made it out of that and did career and came out, everybody was so devastated with that Afghanistan pullout. It was so demoralizing to everybody, everybody I knew, because they were like, what did we do for 20 years? Why did we do this?
Well, we protected the poppy fields to grow heroin and have them processed out of the manufacturing facilities in Afghanistan. And once we developed fentanyl, we no longer needed to have to grow poppies because it was too weather dependent.
Yeah.
So we decided to pull out of Afghanistan because the costs were too high.
We know the reason why. But, you know, from a standpoint where you fought, died, and you've watched dozens and dozens of your friends die in the sandbox, and suddenly you get told, well, that was good. Good job, guys. You did good. We're done here now. The terrorists won. We got fentanyl now.
We had our friends contacting us from the show and sending us video of them driving through the poppy fields. Driving around the poppy fields. They weren't allowed to touch the poppy fields to protect those areas for the growing of poppy. That was the military. They were doing that in Afghanistan. And the sad part about it is you ask yourself a question, what was the point? Same point that we had in the 60s with the Vietnam War. We were growing poppies in Vietnam.
Opioids.
And then what happened is back in the 40s, the OSS that became the CIA wanted to know how Chiang Kai-shek had a million-man army and how he basically kept them fed and kept them paid. And he says, I sell poppy, I sell heroin, I sell opium to the masses. So he did it. And that's when our OSS, which became our CIA, decided to go ahead and start running drugs to pay the black ops. Read the book, Operation Gladio, The Unholy Alliance Between the CIA, the Vatican, and the Mafia. And you will be shocked at how this happened and how we still do that to this day. And you can watch Sicario.
Yeah.
And he talks about how the CIA is controlling the distribution. And they had to have a federal agency with the FBI involved with them on American soil. All of this stuff is very, very real. And we talk about it on an ongoing basis because we realize that these people are being controlled via organized crime globally. The entire planet is being controlled by a satanic group.
It's always the opioids. And before you have an argument with me on this, Afghanistan harvest produced more than 90% of the heroin globally and more than 95% of European supply in 2021. Afghanistan is the leading country for poppy and heroin production globally,
and we were,
by far.
And we were controlling it.
And by the way, you pull up a graph, I'll pull up here in a second, pre-9/11, heroin production had almost, and poppy production had almost ceased to exist in Afghanistan because the Taliban burned it all down because they didn't like it. Just understand that 2003, 2004, all of it got receded.
We had a massive shortage of heroin and opium on the market.
What happened was, in order to fill the gap between the new coming production of opium in Afghanistan, we brought in the Sackler family and approved OxyContin, a controlled release opioid that was safe and effective and was
not addictive.
And they ran it through pill mills and got everybody hooked on it to meet the demand, get everybody hooked on it. Then they pulled that product off the market because it was so addictive. And at the same time, you could watch the graph change. Opium production met an all-time high in Afghanistan, and we had record heroin usage in the United States when that happened. Because everybody pulled off OxyContin, and they went to heroin.
They were putting 50 kilos of heroin in the caskets of the GIs coming out of Vietnam. No wonder they wanted such a high body count.
Yep.
And that's how they were basically bringing in, because those bodies were sacrosanct when they came off the aircraft coming out of Vietnam, and nobody could touch them.
Switching gears, I told you guys I was going to talk about this yesterday with brain fog. And by the way, I'm putting together a kit because I've had a lot of people ask me about
it. What are we going to call it?
I'm not going to let everybody know yet. I'm working on it. I'm putting everything together. Harrison's going to write an article on it. The GHI cleanse and the magnesium brain food combined. Those two, detoxifying the body, reducing inflammation, reducing brain fog. I've gotten probably some of the best feedback and personal usage from those two products together. Because I know a lot of people buy different products at certain times, but those two go together so well.
I take them both every day.
I'm going to throw in a free shaker with the kit on top of the discount.
You're giving away my shakers?
I'm giving away our shakers. I know. I got more coming in, but these are great. They're really strong. They're amazing for mixing stuff up. But so natural approaches for brain fog. I talked about yesterday in detail omega-3 fatty acids, vitamin D, which is crucial. Studies show vitamin D reduces oxidative stress and helps induce neurotrophic factors and synaptic structural proteins, meaning it's great for your brain. Then on top of that, they have B12, vitamin C, magnesium. And how can I prevent brain fog? Practice good sleep hygiene. That's crucial. Good sleep is absolutely crucial for making sure your body can stay strong and mentally acute. Eat nutritional diet. You already know that. Stay away from the ultra-processed foods.
Omega-6, stay away from omega-6.
Yes.
Corn oil, soy oil,
the high-fructose corn syrup. Manage stress. Chronic stress, significant contributor to inflammation, and was a leading proponent of brain fog. Go outside, socialize, get tasks done. Set a goal list. One of the best ways you can get out of a funk is setting a short-term goal list, because it gives you direction and drive to complete certain tasks. Once you complete those tasks, it gives you natural serotonin and dopamine because you've actually completed something positive instead of sitting on TikTok and scrolling endlessly till your brain turns to rot. That doesn't work good for brain fog.
I like this one. Exercise regularly. The people show that parts of the brain that control thinking and memory are larger who exercise and stay hydrated. Being dehydrated by as little as 2% can lead to disturbances of cognitive function. Your brain is primarily fat and water. You got to have enough water in your brain.
Right. And that's one of the reasons when they looked at the research study of how creatine decreased some brain fog in individuals and actually helped mental acuity, even under sleep deprivation, it was actually because it helped retain additional water in the brain.
Yeah, I take it every day.
Creatine is great, even low doses like we have with the controlled release capsule.
Now, use the stuff we have from Switzerland, though. Don't use the stuff over the counter.
No, the problem is, and I've dealt with this firsthand, 90%+ of the creatines in the bodybuilding market and the supplement industry, they're all from China. They're almost all from China, and they're crap. And the problem is when you start taking high doses of creatine and it hits your stomach, it breaks down into creatinine with hydrochloric acid. Your body wasn't designed to eat copious amounts of creatine raw straight to the gut. It's designed to extract and absorb creatine in the small intestines through the food that you eat, like beef or bison. So your body's designed to absorb it through the small intestines. Why are you taking 5 and 10 grams in water on an empty stomach? It doesn't work very well, and it turns into creatinine, which is a byproduct, causes massive water retention, high blood pressure, stresses the kidneys, doesn't work properly. Do it in small doses with the controlled release capsules that digest in your small intestines like we have, and it works great, and you get great results from it. But yes, these are some topics here to help out with brain fog, and I'll have that kit together later on this week with the GHI cleanse, the magnesium brain food on sale, with one of my new fancy shakers that I like that are so good and strong.
They really are. By the way, Florida airports have now been ordered to report any weather modification activities. This is from Orlando. This is Orlando Sentinel. The biggest problem that we have is everything above 1,500 feet, in most cases, is controlled by the federal government.
Right.
As far as air. It's airspace is controlled all the way up to 60,000 feet. So now what they're doing, they're saying they're reporting weather activities, modification activities on the ground. In other words, when they start putting certain additives in the jet fuel, they want to know about it right now before it gets put into the airplane.
Well, at least we're making some leadway with it.
Well, at least people are talking about
it.
Of course, EPA comes out and says, no such thing. Oh, my gosh. I can see the streaks in the sky. But the sad part about that, you know, they've been messing with the weather for a long, long time. So at that point, it'll say, we don't have people putting this stuff here. So I'm glad they're doing this. Now, whether they can actually enforce that or not, I don't know.
Like you said, though, at least it's becoming a topic of discussion and people are bringing it up. And that's one of the biggest things I encourage everybody on this show. Make sure you're talking about stuff. Forward the show, forward links, forward the shorts that we have. Continue to get this truth out there, because the only way to elicit change is to bring topics up. Like I said yesterday, the only thing evil men need to succeed is for good men to do nothing, to stand silent, to not hold their convictions, to not push forward, to sit back, relax, let it go, don't talk about it, I don't want to offend anybody. That's what they want. And if that's what they want, I'm going to do the complete opposite.
Well, yeah. Oh, by the way, Trump is now pushing Vladimir Putin that if they didn't stop the war in Ukraine in 50 days, he's going to have massive sanctions against Russia. So we don't buy much from Russia in the United States. Only a few billion dollars a year. But he's talking about with all of their trading partners, he'll have sanctions against all them too. I mean, this is way against the Treaty of Westphalia.
But then, we're doing massive weapon systems transferring to Ukraine.
Yeah.
So you need to get a ceasefire, get agreement. But here, Ukraine, here's more Patriot surface missiles.
Well, no, it's like saying somebody up in Toronto has a neighbor problem, so now we're going to go get involved with that. We have no business over there. I mean, why do we care about some person in Toronto? I don't care about Afghanistan. I don't care about Ukraine. I don't care about any of these countries.
I care about the United States.
Me too. Let them figure out their own stuff. In fact, figuring out your own stuff means keep your hearts and minds in Christ all the days of your life. That's really important. Make sure you pray all the time. Pray without ceasing, because, guys, it'll keep your brain a lot healthier if you have some type of prayer on a regular basis when you realize that you're not in charge of the global effects, that God is, and we have to make sure that we continue to support his activity, what he wants to do, based upon what the Word of God says.
True. You guys need anything, Team Health Masters? Appreciate you guys. Thank you for all the positive emails. I always enjoy those. Call us if you need anything. Email us. Have a blessed, safe night, my friends. We'll talk to you on this show tomorrow, as always.
Love you guys.